and it's a deeper, it's something deeper. The people want to go deeper. They're hungry for what God has for them. What does it look like? I don't know what that looks like for you, but a hunger and a thirsting for more of Him. And so tonight, as we finish up the series on our blueprint series, a biblical church, we're going to be looking at worship, and with a broader, more biblical understanding of worship, we become better worshipers of God. And so that's important. And tonight, I want to welcome you, and I'm glad you're here. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture, something that we all probably could quote. And but I want to read it tonight. And as you're turning there, maybe you're here for the first time. Somebody dragged you out here. Somebody told you that you needed to be here. Can I just encourage you that if you haven't invited somebody to be here tonight, invite them to be here. There's something that is, come on, when the body of Christ gets together, something happens. It's not just a Sunday morning, and it's not just a Sunday night. And yes, I get it that it's the Super Bowl, but you know what? It's been a super Sunday. It really has. And I'm not going to give you the score because I don't want to ruin anybody and have anybody mad at me because I gave you a score. But let's look at this tonight. Tonight is a super Sunday too. This is just a continuation. And so as we look at this, would you join me in prayer as we get ready to jump into the Scripture tonight? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight. God, I thank you that already it has been a super Sunday. And God, not just this Sunday, but God, every Sunday should be super Sunday. And so, God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you that you are here and you're meeting us and you're just longing for more of us just to give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, holding nothing back. And so, God, tonight I pray that you would speak to your people. God, open the ears, open the eyes, and God, I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive what it is you have for us tonight. God, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2: Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I have a video that I'd like to open up with as you watch this.
We use that word a lot, usually when referring to singing, which is a form of worship, because the word worship means to really bow before someone. And so when we sing, we're coming in His presence and lifting Him up. So that is a form of worship. But worship goes way beyond that. It goes to, what do I bow to? For some of us, we really do worship ourselves because we just surrender to our feelings, our desires, our pleasures, and we go, whatever my body wants, I'm going to go after that. Others, we worship things like popularity, and we just bow down to people and what they want. Some of us, we just want to fit into the culture, or we worship the country or whatever else. But what God says is, look, I want to be your first allegiance. So worship means you surrender to me. You say, my ways are best, and you gladly come under that type of leadership. And at the core of worship, that's what it's all about.
Worship. What do you worship? What do you worship? You know, I love the Apostle Paul because he challenges me in my walk, and I take time to read when I read the epistles. You know, the passage we just read is one that should challenge us as Christ followers to become better worshipers of God. So what is your definition of worship? We heard Francis Chan's definition of worship, but what is your definition of worship? Think about that for just a minute. You know, tonight we're going to wrap up with talking about the ultimate worship experience. You know, Paul teaches in this passage that a life that is completely surrendered to God through obedience and through renewed thoughts, is a life that is committed to the spiritual act of worship. You know, when we look at the Scripture, what does our spiritual act of worship mean? Well, Paul Paul was urging his readers to understand that the power of our spiritual act of worship. Worship is much more than just songs. Worship means completely offering our lives, our obedience, and our minds to God. When we worship, it's our response to the gift of the redemption and salvation that we've received through faith in Jesus. You know, this is a heartfelt response once we completely understand the depth of the gift. When we truly completely understand what took place and salvation and the redemptive process when we fully grasp that, we want nothing more than to worship God. And we want to worship Him with everything that we have. You know, music is one way to worship God, but it's not the only way to worship Him. You know, too often believers limit their understanding of worship to singing or to things that happen in the building. You know, you and I have a chance to worship God through almost everything we do during the day. Every moment can be an opportunity to worship God, but with everything from our jobs, our family, our life, we just don't see these moments as worship. Worship is anything that brings glory to God. You being obedient brings worship to God. Going deeper in your walk with Him, reading the scriptures, brings worship to Him. You know, no matter how old or how young we are, we still need to obey our parents, right? Well, when you obey your parents, you bring worship to Him, to God, not your parents, but to God. You're bringing worship to Him because you're being obedient to what God has. You know, as we look at these, I have three things that I want to help us have the ultimate worship experience. Three things that help us have the ultimate worship experience. The first one is that worship is an action. Worship is an action. You know, Paul doesn't even mention believers gathering together or singing in this passage about worship. He stays away from any activity that could become a ritual because he wants to broaden our understanding of worship. Everything we do and ought to be an act of worship. You know, worship was never meant for us. Worship was never meant for me. That's a selfish mindset. That's selfishness. It has nothing to do about me. It has everything to do about Him. Everything to do about God. Yeah, we have people up here and we have talent and we have gifts. People are singing and using their voices and playing the drums, which there's lots of places for you to use your gifts and talents. But guess what? When you use that gift and talent, it's not about you. It's how you can worship God with it. And you know, you're looking at somebody who had a hard time with that because of the fact that yes, I'm going to be a little boastful here, but I'm just going to say this because it actually is something that is a thorn in my side because I know that it still is there. Is the fact that I know that I've got a great voice and I can sing, and I'm just being completely honest with you, and that sounds very prideful, and guess what? It is prideful. And guess what? That's something that I have to battle every single time that I get up and I worship God. Because I know that I can sing. I know that I can do that. But when I get in the way, guess what happens? It's no longer worship. It's no longer for His glory. So as I said, that may come across very boastful and that may come across very prideful. But I know that that's something that Paul is dealing with. I know that. And so I have to say, God, I set Paul aside because I want it all to be for You. I don't want it for me. I don't want the glory. I want You to receive the glory. That's what I want. Worship doesn't change God. When you're in worship, worship, say that 10 times fast. Worship isn't about changing God, it should be about changing you. Worship should not be about us trying to change God, but allowing God to change you. And more often than not, like I said, we get in the way. Because I want to come up, me personally wants to come up, and okay? I'm being honest, being real. Like I said, this is the thing that Paul has to deal with. And guess what? If I can't talk about it here, where can I talk about it, right? I know that. And that's not something I just like go out and I tell everybody. Because I know that. But it's not about me, and it's not me trying to change God, but God changing me. And what he wants to do in me. I want him to change me from the inside out. I want him to change my thoughts. I want him to change the way that I speak. I want him to change the way that I hear things. And how I want him to do it all. I want the transformation to happen from the inside out. And I really want, hear me on that. That's my prayer for you tonight too. My prayer for you tonight is when you come into this place, that it's not about you. It's not about me. Once it becomes about me, and I think far too often there's not enough, and this is just me, I think there's some people that don't walk away. Worship should change us. And when we serve the body or a community, it is an act of worship. You know, we talked about service last week. Having opportunities to serve people. You know, that's an act of worship to God. He wants us to be in service. He wants us to be connecting. He wants us to serve each other. He wants us to do that. And when you do that, that brings worship to him. Because really, what are you doing? It's not about you. It's about the individual. It's about the other person, which then ultimately becomes about God. Ultimately, it comes about God. You know, when we meet in life groups and we grow individually and as a group is an act of worship. When I see worship as an action, I don't see pride in there. Worship is an action. You know, the second thing that I see is worship is a sacrifice. Once again, I don't see pride in there. Who doesn't like convenience? I like convenience. We have stores that have all that we need while we're on the road called convenience stores. We have microwaves that help make things more convenient to those who deliver pizza so we don't have to drive again once we are home. But here's the thing. Sometimes those things are just not convenient. And to make them so is to make them into something they're not. You know, we see in 1 Kings, we see this take place in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25 through 33, This is the story of Jeroboam and his plan that unashamedly played on people's love of convenience. You know, so the king, it says in verse 28, so that the king consulted and made two golden calves, and he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt." Here they are. Here's your calves.
make it convenient for you so you don't have to go. You don't have to leave. We'll just do it right here. It's okay. Convenience. Not all that good. You know, the bait was set and everyone took hold in their and to their shame, the people of the northern kingdom turned out to be all too accepting of the king's scheme, which caused the kingdom to go into a downward spiral that led to a spiritual bankruptcy. You know, Paul clearly states that our bodies can be living sacrifices. Instead of ceasing to exist, the usual concept of a sacrifice, our existence and our life can be worship when we choose to please God with our actions, thoughts, decisions, and so on. You know, the sacrifice can take many forms. Often, it's a sacrifice of our will and our self-centeredness. Remember my voice that I talked about? Self-centeredness. Was it about me? Or was it about God? And you know what? Sometimes it means sacrificing something that's hindering our relationship with God. Wait a minute. I don't want to sacrifice anything. I just want to keep it the way it is. I like it. I like the convenience. I don't want to be in a corporate person. I don't want to be with everybody else. I want to go do my own thing. Watch it. Convenience. I'll watch it on television. I'll worship in front of the television. I'll make the connection there. No. Wait a minute. Hold on a second here. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I think I see that we're called to fellowship together, and there's a reason for it, not to forsake the fellowship of being together. Being together is where we're encouraged, where we can connect with one another, and we can pray for one another, and we can say, hey, how's your week going? It's really rough right now. I'm really struggling right now. You know, I'm having a hard time with what's happening on my job, and I'm having a hard time with my boss. Okay. Well, let me pray for you. Let me take some time and pray for you. It's pretty quiet in here. Because we don't want to sacrifice. We like the convenience. But worship is a sacrifice. And it's something that needs to be pleasing to God. You know, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know, there is no true worship without sacrifice. There is no true worship without sacrifice. And sacrifice is often inconvenient. So what is the Lord calling you to do? I don't know what He's calling you to do tonight. I don't know what He's calling you to do this week. And then I might have just blown your minds about the whole act of worship, and you're going, man, I'm really struggling with this one tonight. I'm really having a hard time with this worship talk. I'm really having a hard time trying to figure out, I just don't get it, because I like my convenience. Whatever it is, to be quick to obey, for there is no other way.
That's what you have to do. That's what it is. What is the Lord calling you to do? Whatever he is calling you to do, be quick about it and be obedient. That's what he's saying. Obedience. He wants you to be obedient to what he's asking of you. Lay it on the altar, and by doing that, we can be counted among those who are called true worshipers that God is seeking. Here's the third thing. Worship is a lifestyle. You know, A.W. Tozer, and I quote, if you will not worship God 7 days a week, you will not worship him on one day a week. You know, when I read that, I went, ouch. Here it is again, A.W. Tozer. If you will not worship God 7 days a week, you will not worship him on one day a week. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not just a Sunday and Wednesday thing. It's not a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. It's a lifestyle. You can worship God while you're driving in the car. You can worship God while you're throwing the trash out. You can. I had something else, and I had to check myself before I could say it. Some of you caught that. You can worship God wherever you're at. You can. It doesn't matter. Because it's a lifestyle. And if worship is only a Sunday thing to us, we set ourselves up to fail for the rest of the week. We really do. You know what begins to happen? We become anemic Christians. You might take that and go, wow, that's a pretty harsh thing to say. Well, think about it. If you're only serving one time a week or worshiping one time a week, by 6 days later, you're weak. You're weak. And I look at that and I go, worship is a lifestyle. You know, just like the athlete, musician, artist, writer, or a leader understands that commitment it takes to grow and succeed. Can I say that it takes commitment on your part? You can come on a Sunday night and you can get the Word of God here, but if you're not taking the Word of God home the rest of the week and taking it and studying it and reading it and mulling it over and diving in yourself, can't point the finger at me. You can't point the finger at me. Pastor, that's harsh again. I love you guys. That's why I say it. I really do. And I only want to see you guys grow deeper. I want to see you become what Matthew says in the Sermon on the Mount, when he's talking about hungering and thirsting for more of God. And that's going to look different to each and every one of us. I get it. Some of you are going to take, you're not going to feel like you spent time with God unless you get that full 2 hours time. Some of you are going to be like, man, I feel like I got God in 15 minutes. Awesome. But in that 10 to 15 minutes or that 2 hours that you spend with God, there better be a life change afterwards. There has to be. People have to realize that, and I say realize, but people are wanting to see a difference in you and me after we've spent time with God. If the way that we act here is like, woohoo, great, yeah, awesome. But then we go out there and our mouth isn't the same. The things we talk about, the things we see, the things we do, it doesn't add up. Well, Jesus called them hypocrites. Pastor, that's harsh. Well, it's because worship is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. I'm not saying that you don't have your struggle. I'm not saying you don't have that thorn in your side. Hello? I told you mine. And I have to lay it down every single day. Because I know that pride doesn't bring worship to God. I know that. So I have to lay it down and I have to set my pride aside and I have to set it aside and say, God, it's all you. Life change. Life change. It takes commitment in order to grow and succeed. The person will commit to a new lifestyle to achieve the goal. Worship includes the pattern of choices we make because of obedience to God. By not conforming to the world, but standing up for what is right, we are worshiping God with our obedience. We can worship when our mind and our thoughts focus on honoring God. Learning, studying, and anything else that sharpens our ability to use our mind for God's glory also can be worship. God isn't pleased when we disobey or choose to remain rebellious. That's the difference from the process of maturing. God knew we won't be perfect overnight. He knows that. He knows that you and I are not going to be perfect overnight. Or even in this lifetime. He knows that. You know, Louis Giglio once said, it's a lot easier to sing a song than it is to stop and touch the broken. It's a lot less taking to go to church than to take church to the world. But sharing with others is a sacrifice of worship that makes God smile. Worship is a lifestyle. And only a life of continual praise can honor God's numerous gifts to us. It has become increasingly popular in our culture for Christians to exempt themselves from corporate worship. Television has made it more convenient. It really has. Nothing wrong with them. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with those individuals. But not only is this unbiblical, as found in Hebrews 10:24, where the writer says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is a habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more, as you see the day drawing near. Man, the day is coming soon. It is drawing nearer and nearer and nearer. And we need to be connecting, and we need to be encouraging one another, and we need to be lifting each other up. It's hard. Talk to a millennial. Ask them what they go through. Ask them the things that they're confronted with. Seriously. Older ones? Younger ones need to hear from each other. We need each other. I've said it before, we're a multi-generational church because the older needs the younger and the younger needs the older. We need each other. We do. There are boys in this church that need godly men in their lives, and there's girls in this church that need godly women in their lives. And when we finally grasp that, and we begin to serve those individuals, guess what begins to happen? Worship becomes a lifestyle. It begins to happen. You know, C.S. Lewis, as I get ready to wrap this up, C.S. Lewis observed,
The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves become, because He made us. He invented all the different people that you and I were intended to be. It is when I turn to Christ, when I give up myself to His personality, and that I first begin to have a real personality of my own. You know, Matthew 22, 34 through 40, this is where Jesus is discussing the greatest commandment. But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Him a question to test Him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the greatest and first commandment. And second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Come on, that's what we need. Love the Lord your God. When we worship, we're loving God with our whole heart, with our whole soul, our mind. We're worshiping Him. Romans 6:13. "Give yourselves to God. Surrender your whole being to Him to be used for His righteous purpose." Surrender. Surrender your life to Him. And as you do that, it becomes worship. And it becomes the lifestyle that He's looking at. You know, God wants all of you. And as we look tonight at worship, it is where we offer our bodies as living sacrifices. But the problem is, when we come on Sunday, we sing. But then on Monday, we go completely AWOL. We leave this place. And we sing, we lift our hands, and we worship God. Yet on Monday morning, we go completely AWOL. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be all in. Just like being a disciple costs, so does real worship. Real worship costs. Worship is not to focus inwardly or selfishly. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. So as we close, as we wrap this up, we're going to take some time, and we're going to finish out the rest of the night in worship. And when you see the sign, in this next video, when you see it say, "Let's worship," would you stand to your feet? And let's worship, and let's give Him everything we have.